Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hello and welcome to the NXT review. I'm Adam Wilborn from What Culture, joined by Andy Murray from What Culture to review everything that happened in last night's episode of NXT. But before we get into it, if you're a fan of this sort of thing, make sure you subscribe to What Culture Wrestling on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Amazon Music, wherever you get your podcasts from, for daily wrestling podcasts where we not only review the show formerly known as NXT 2.0. But also pay-per-views, premium live events. We have interviews, roundtable discussions, and a roundup of the week complete. A bloody good quiz, of course, on wrestling.
Not this week, you lying git.
Oh, yeah.
There's no one in, is there?
I'm clocking off after this.
Yeah, I might record it on my own.
Leaving it to the boys in Las Vegas instead. But yeah, Andy and I are here to review last night's episode of NXT. Do you now understand why this is the best wrestling show of the week?
No.
Like, yes.
No.
Dynamite has some pretty good matches, I suppose. SmackDown's the most popular show. Raw's the longest. NXT is the proper wrestling buffet. If you don't like something, don't worry. Something else will be along very soon.
Okay. I left this episode no more convinced on its best show of the week status. But hey, listen, if it's officially been named the best show of the week by the Academy, who am I to lie? Who am I to disagree?
A very eventful show. Of course, this the go-home show ahead of NXT Battleground. Yeah. You're grounded! Battlegrounded.
Do you like 9 matches and 24 segments in 2 hours? Well, I got the wrestling show for you.
So good.
It's a like, bag of Skittles, this show.
That's what it is, isn't it? You know my favourite sweets are Skittles Chewies. Especially because you don't have to deal with the whole hassle of chewing a shell.
And also, if you like Skittles, if you exist on a diet solely of Skittles, you will die.
Good point.
So NXT, another comparison. Gee whiz.
Anyway, yes. So this show was dominated, of course, by stuff leading to the show at the weekend. There's some other stuff going on, I think, on Saturday and Sunday, but who cares?
I don't know about those.
It was the semi-finals.
I'm yawning thinking of those other shows.
The NXT Women's Championship Tournament. And the show opened with inset promos from Lyra Valkyria, Cora Jade, Roxanne Perez, and Tiffany Stratton, who said, "When you're the center of the universe, things just fall into place." Tiddles! She's my favorite. And I think, yep. That may have led to my enjoyment of this show a little bit later on. But the first semi-final was Cora Jade versus Lyra Valkyria. Full disclosure, me and Andy got both results completely wrong on the preview yesterday, but that's the beauty of it. AEW's so predictable. Ugh. Give me some unpredictability in my wrestling.
I'd imagine your usual co-hosts get very annoyed when you say stuff like that.
50% of them do, yeah.
Hamlet. Yeah.
That wasn't the only thing unpredictable about this match, because let's just say they weren't necessarily on the same page.
This
here.
Was a shame. This was a mess. Like, this match was a disaster, really. And it's a shame because, like, they're not the most experienced wrestlers in the world, and they're here on TV and all of this. But, like, you know, I'm not a person who, like, makes fun of people's botches and stuff. I think that's really lame, kind of wee guy energy.
Especially because you and I have never done anything.
Yeah, exactly. Like,
just limit that to the wrestling ring.
I'm literally the least athletic person in the world. So, I think it's just go outside and get some fresh air behavior.
Touch grass.
Yeah, like, oh, look at this flub or whatever. But sometimes these things happen, right? And sometimes they really interrupt the match. And here...
Yeah.
Obviously, the springboard thing went awry really, really early. where she was bouncing back. And
thankfully,
she was like,
Booker hit it brilliantly.
What happened there? And then, like, you know, the finishing, the kick at the end, that did not connect.
Nope.
Like, that was a good bit away. And there was some other pin exchanges that were a bit ropey as well. So, like, this was, like, just kind of a shame because all of this kind of happened in, like, what, 3.5 minutes-ish? Yeah. Honest to goodness, I came out of it just feeling a bit bad because these are professionals who are good at their jobs and they just had a bad night at the office. Totally got the outcome wrong. The finish felt really strange as well because it was like, you know, the kick didn't really connect and then there was the pin and it was like, oh!
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Interesting. Did not foresee this unless like Cora's maybe going up or something. I don't know, to the main roster, but who knows.
Yeah, they sort of weirdly tried to protect her by getting her some of her heat back afterwards, but I'd be more than fine. Yeah, Cora Jade to move up to the main roster.
Yeah.
ASAP for me. But like you say, I just felt a bit, it completely took me out of the match.
It does. Like, if it's like interrupting the flow,
yeah,
and there's like two or three of them, botches do that sometimes.
Yeah. But with the result, I thought, I mean, it's not without outside the realms of possibility to do a sort of babyface versus babyface final, but Lyra Valkyrie gets the win, and I go, oh my God, you tell me there's a chance.
Well, they established a story for the final as well, because, you know, the post-match beatdown and the angle later on that I'm sure we'll talk about. Ernest, good to point out the Ernest attempts at, like, building a hook for the final match. That's good. That's fundamentally decent stuff.
Yeah, Jay jumped a bird person after the match, targeted, and he hit her with a kendo stick. And we'll report more on that a little bit later on.
He's got a broken wing.
And we see Axiom and Dabba Kato heading to the ring. And so harsh, they did a tail of the tape here, which for any sort of other sports fans know, it's generally like, well, they've got just the edge on the reach advantage here. I've got it here. Axiom, 5'9". Dabba Kato, 7'1".
He's not 7'1".
Axiom, 170 pounds. Dabba Kato, 335 pounds. Shoe size, Axiom, 10. Dabba Kato, 17.
Jings, that's a big foot.
And reach. Axiom, 68.5. Could he edge it with that 0.5? No. Dabba Kato, 85.
Yeah, if you got top trumps, you'd be shredding your Axiom card in this one, wouldn't you? Jeez.
And another show-long hook. Tony could learn a lot from this. Dijak walks into the building. He's attacked by Ilya Dragunov, who, of course, I'm not sure if you're aware of this, kidnapped last week and tortured.
Yeah, yeah.
And the lore of these two was the sliding gate. Dijak had done that to Dragunov recently, so turnabout's fair play. Dragunov tries to do it to him, but Dijak can hold it up just for long enough for referees to come in and separate them, and Vic Joseph tells us that there's going to be a hold harmless agreement for their last man standing match that at some point they're going to have to sign. Full disclosure, Andy, having watched the main event match, I had completely forgotten about this and thought, where's Dijak going?
Yeah, where's he at?
More on that later, though.
Yeah.
It was time for the classic big man, little man match. Dabba Kato versus Axiom.
Nerd!
Just take him out of the fucking mask, please. Axiom, usual thing. Speed, quickness, agility. Tries to get away from Dabba Kato's power. Dodges a choke slam, but
tried to kick his legs.
Kato just threw him to the floor early on. Axiom tries to fight back. He targets Kato's leg, but Kato just takes his head off with a lariat. Tree slam, 1, 2, 3. Post-match, Dabba Kato continues the beatdown, and you think, who's going to come out and save him? Well, it was the former Scripps, who astonishingly was revealed to be Reggie recently. He comes in, fights the good fight for Axiom, low bridges Dabba Kato to the floor, and offers a hand to Axiom, but he doesn't know whether to trust him just yet. They've been through a lot, these two.
Can't trust the hacker man. Yeah. I like the way Reggie entered the ring. Like, he just kind of flipped in from
nowhere.
He's
amazing, isn't he?
Yeah, he's like...
These are a great tag team, potentially.
Is it Cirque du Soleil? Is that his background?
Yes.
Yeah, so obviously he's a ridiculous gymnast.
That and wine, according to SmackDown.
Yeah. Remember when he wrestled Sasha and it was just weird and fun?
Awesome, yeah.
Yeah. It was like, it wasn't really a wrestling match. It was just like flips. It was good. It was like a circus thing, like Cirque du Soleil, funnily enough. Basic match, really, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Like I think David Kato like projects much... like fearsome aura for a big guy. Like he's not like peak Lance Archer or whatever. But yeah, I mean, it was okay. Like layout wise, big guy beats up the little guy. Little guy tries to chop him down, fails, eats the dirt. Maybe they'll do a handicap match between these three. Maybe like hopefully. When was the last time WWE did like a big man? Probably like an Omos squash somewhere.
But maybe,
remember the disastrous Lars Sullivan versus Lucha House
Party? That's
one that
really sticks in my head.
Yeah, hopefully if they do that, it goes better than this. This one goes better than that.
Yeah.
But yeah, it was totally fine. David Kato, probably a bit of work to do in projecting like scariness. I'm not scared of him.
No, could be worse. He could be on Raw Underground, so...
I was more scared of him on Raw Underground.
That's sick.
Yeah. It was best show of all time.
God.
Shane McMahon. Blah.
Hey, he needs something to do whilst he's healing up.
An itchy nose. Yeah, absolutely.
Right.
I should have an itchy nose, by the way. I'm not making a weird joke.
Yes.
Like, in case anyone...
Ooh, what could he mean? No, he's just got... It's hay fever season.
See, when you hit your mid-30s and you get hair in your nose, brother. Nightmare. Oh. Nightmare. I've got a dedicated nose hair trimmer from manscaped.com. Check it out.
Yeah.
I don't know. We haven't done anything with them in a while.
But hey. I've still got their pants. They're great.
Hey, listen, I've got 3 pairs of pants. I got everything else as well. I'm a fan of the brand.
Hey. And that we're not even, that's genuinely not a paid
sponsorship.
That's
not a shill.
That's just. No,
but if they want to, I mean.
Adam.Wilborn at whatculture.com if you want to get in contact.
Hey.
So this was a story I was heavily invested in from last week. I told you all about it. Tony D got arrested. Well, he didn't get arrested, actually. Technically, this week he got arrested. But last week he got took downtown.
Yeah. He's been downtown for a whole week.
Yes. So he's in the police interrogation room and the interrogator comes in and asks why Tony's name keeps coming up in ongoing investigations. Probably because on a weekly basis they film their crimes. but Tony says... Oh, I don't know. My nose is clean. I am an upstanding pillar of society, officer. I would not hurt a fly. The investigating officer says, well, we've received some tips. And Tony says, oh, tips? Tips from who? What, if I tip you, you'll let me go? And officer says, oh, are you trying to bribe me? And he says, oh, officer, come on. It's a joke. Relax. The interrogator shows him a video from one of their informants. And honestly, my stomach was in knots at this point. And he goes, informants? Oh! What, like a rat? And they're asking if Tony can ID who's in the video. Can I ID himself in the video? He says, oh, officer, your iPad's a little dirty. The footage is at night. It's a little hard to see. It's grainy. Come on.
Screen covered in rubbish. Sounds familiar.
Look, I'll tell you this. There is no way that is me in that video. And then another officer comes in and tells the interrogator they've got new information regarding D'Angelo's involvement. Is there a rat in Tony D's crew? Does this mean what I think they're implying? Because I really hope it doesn't. I am heavily... This is... You can't take away the Briggs, Jensen, Fallon Henley, Kiana James, love square
thing.
And this in a matter of weeks.
Yeah, they're taking away all your favorite things.
They can't do this to me.
They're doing it. They're taking him down.
I mean, on the other hand, they may well be giving me Tiffany Stetter and NXT Women's Champion. But I'm not ready
for
this. Whoa,
main event spoilers. Come on. I don't know how to analyze this. I don't know what to say about this.
Cinema.
Get the Emmys out.
Yeah.
Never mind the bloodline. Or what's that? Secession? Nah. We've got the new era Sopranos here. The new Saints of whatever that film was called.
Oh, yeah.
Newark? I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's not for me,
It is for me.
It's not for me.
So we'll circle back to it later. We sort of discussed this on the preview yesterday. There's not a lot else that they need to do with Melo and Bron. And they did the best that they could. With a great series of videos about them. There was one about Bron Breakker and his year of dominance and what happened at NXT Stand and Deliver in April. And he's like, what did this last year get me? Also, I could pass the torch. Well, you can have the torch, Mello. I'm about to burn this bitch down. Mello's just a dude walking around with his title. He's not coming to Lowell to witness a homecoming. He's coming to Lowell in front of Mello's friends and family for a massacre. I like these little things that they do. They didn't need to do any more talking on this show. I mean, he did later on. He killed poor Tank and Hank. But yeah, I was sold on this main event already. And I thought these video packages they did, I just added to it.
I like the little shots of like Mello doing interviews and like going to a restaurant and stuff. Like, it's just a little slice of life. Here for anything that makes professional wrestlers in this weird job feel like organic people. Yeah. So it's cool seeing them, you know, in those different environments and stuff. And the Braun resonates quite well. It's like a jerk, jock,
so much
heel.
Better as a heel. God.
Definitely. Blacking out the tights, getting rid of the tie-dye for a bit. Tie-dye, whatever you call that color scheme he had before. The old Steiner stuff. It came off really well. Like the greatest hits of like the big spots, the spear through the wall, the spear out of the sky. It all came off really well. They did a really good job with this. Shockingly, WWE did a good job with a highlight package. Who knew?
What do you make of Gallus's new Sin Cara lighting?
The Green Fiend.
Yeah.
They were like Guinness Fiends, even before they're from Glasgow. Yeah. Are they Rangers or Celtic? That's an interesting choice. Ooh. Either way, that could be a potential...
I feel like Joe's Rangers, but maybe I'm just...
I'm not sure. Let's find out. Because, like, if I'm a Rangers fan and they want to bathe me in green light, But I'm neither of those things. No. So, yeah.
Oh, no.
Well, are they Celtic?
First thing I read here, Celtic daft Scottish wrestler Joe Coffey.
Okay, there you go. Fair enough. I thought they were Rangers fans as well for some reason. But
that makes a little bit more sense now.
Yeah, so they blow me away every single week, Gallus, because I'm not used to people having Scottish accents on my TV. Even after years and years of watching... Drew, obviously, and other people in wrestling, the Highlanders, I guess, hearing a bunch of Ouija guys in the ring just going, all right, Paul, you're going to come down this ring so we can batter you. It's really weird to me. It's surreal. What are they up to with the Green Fiend stuff? I'm not really sure. But,
no idea.
You'll
like this, actually. I'm just reading this. It's from the Scottish Sun. Don't buy the Sun.
No.
It's a rag. he, as part of the United Kingdom Championship Tournament sort of promo video, obviously they just do a pose.
Aye.
He did Neil Lennon cupping his ears, basically, and Scott Brun to El Hadj Diouf with his arms outstretched.
Good.
So
okay,
I'll allow it.
Well, one good, one bad. Neil Lennon, Scott Brown, tremendous.
Yeah.
So I respect Scott Brown.
You'll never hear a bad word said about Scott Brown in our office.
For his 8 months at Aberdeen, I respect that man.
For those unaware... Of Scott Brown's antics, I feel like the pie incident sums him up the best.
Oh, God, yeah. So Scott Brown, for anyone who's not a fan of the great league that is the Cinch, the Scottish top tier of professional football.
Second best league in the world?
Best league in the world, sir.
Well, National Leagues runs it pretty close.
I don't know. Scott Brown's was for years. He's not anymore. He's retired now. But he was the comic book villain of the league, the wind-up merchant. I don't know if there's an NFL equivalent. I'm sure there isn't the NHL because they're all psychopaths.
Yeah.
He was winding up the crowd, winding up opposition players, just like a pantomime villain on your team. You love to have him on your team. You hate to have him against your team.
Yeah.
But I'm a fan of tomfoolery, so I always respected Scott Brown, particularly when during his long stint at Celtic, I can't remember if he scored the goal, but basically somebody scored a goal in Aberdeen Stadium. That's my team, Pittodrie. I was there with my season ticket. And they immediately ran up to the Aberdeen fans. Scott Brown is the ringleader. And in a classic display of housery, they celebrate in front of the opposing fans. As they were running towards the crowd, somebody threw a pie, a Scotch pie, a Pittodrie pie, at Scott Brown. Tremendous waste. I mean, it's fertilizer, really. So maybe they were just looking after the grass because those things are... So the pie hit Scott Brown on the shoulder. Without breaking his stride, he leaned down as he was moving forward. He picked it up, took a bite out of it, threw it back down, and celebrated wide-armed. And to make matters even better, it was in front of the family stand. So he did all of this in front of children, and it was probably some angry dad who was there with his five-year-old son, who went, "How dare you score in front of me?" Threw a pie at him.
Amazing.
Quality. I love Scott Brown. Then he came to Aberdeen a few years later. It didn't really work out the way we wanted, but he did get Ryan Kent sent off once. So.
Is that the one where he just waved him?
Yeah. Toodles.
Bye.
Bye. See you later.
Amazing.
It was great. Scott Brown rules.
Anyway, back to Gallus. Joe's on the mic. Joe Coffey, that is. He says, Sunday's battleground card looks absolutely stacked. And Wolfgang's like, yeah, I thought we were going to face Tony D and Stex. But this was the bit where I thought, oh, maybe they're the rats and we might be all right. Because Joe says, oh, yeah, Tony's a bit detained right now. And I if I had to put money on it, we wouldn't be seeing him for a very long time. And I thought,
oh, my God.
Mark Coffey turns his attention to the Creed brothers, saying, oh, well, they've been talking about calling us out, but we haven't heard anything. But here come the Creeds. Love the Creed brothers, by the way, genuinely.
Fun meatball men, aren't they?
Julius, me and Sig have spoken a lot about this. Sig, even possibly, if you haven't seen the video, check out our draft that we did with the Dudleys. I think Sig drafted either both Creeds or certainly Julius. I love Brutus Creed. His cannonball is amazing.
He's going to break his ankles.
He's going to shatter his ankles. Mercedes Moné. Sorry, Mercedes. Where are my manners here? Mercedes
Moné.
Can only look on in jealousy that his ankles haven't somehow broken yet. Get well soon, Mercedes.
Yes.
And Julius is, I think he's going to be a star.
Yeah, he's got it.
Look at the size of him. Look at his talents in the ring.
Yeah, yeah. I've always liked the Creed brothers from day one. They're similar to Braun. They've got jock energy, and I appreciate that in my pro wrestling. A couple of head-dropping psychopaths.
Shout out to Ivy Nile as well.
Straight out of the gym. Her. Yeah, she's got a similar vibe.
Julius says, it sounds like you guys don't want to challenge. Last week we called you out. This week we're saying it to your faces. NXT Battleground, tag titles, ring. Mark Coffey says, well, the problem is we're an entirely different animal. Bruce says, no, the problem is you're out of surprises. You use your last hand, or use your, I don't know, I'm not very good at poker. you pulled your last trick at stand and deliver.
No more, boys.
And Julius, I think, says, the four of us are going to fight, only two are going to leave with the titles. And Joe's like, yeah, but there's three of us. They attack. It's a 3-on-2 beatdown. The numbers game's catching up with the Creed brothers. They set up for their finish on Julius, but who can make the save? But...
Oh, my God.
Stex!
Oh, I thought you were going to do the voice. Jeez.
I'll do his voice later. I can't really do it. It's sort of like, I got you, Creed brothers. Don't worry about it.
That's how I imagine Brutus would speak, actually.
Yeah.
I know.
Obviously, he doesn't.
But what a hero.
He does like a good dinner as well.
An honorary Creed brother for the night, basically.
Yeah. This was a scripted segment performed by guys who didn't feel like they were fully invested in what they were saying. This was quite an amateurish construction, I think, which is kind of a shame because I do like...
Yeah.
They involve players, but this felt really stunted. Like the lines from Gallus, like Joe Coffey's quite a natural talker, but when Wolfgang and Mark Chan, it was a bit like, I don't believe this. But Julius is kind of a natural at this, and Brutus rules. Brutus is probably my favorite, actually, because he's just a bit weird.
Yeah.
Like,
didn't he say something like, oh, I love a good meal? Or
it was like, we've had more matches than you've had hot meals.
And
Brutus says, well, I do like a good dinner, to be fair, which I appreciate. But yeah, this was kind of a by the numb.
Yeah.
I don't really want to rip into it, but it was kind of amateurish.
It'll be a good match. It'll be, they're going to kick each other's asses.
Yeah, it'll be fun.
On Sunday.
Yeah, it'll be fun.
Mackenzie Mitchell's backstage with North American champion Wesley. He gets asked about last week, Joe Gacy's attack, and the cracks in his friendship, let's say, with Tyler Biet. He says, I thought I could trust Tyler. You should have seen him quite blatantly looking at the belt for the last few weeks. Doesn't know whether Joe Gacy's in his head or what. Maybe he has become... doesn't know who he can trust. Tyler comes in, Wes like, save it! We don't need to pretend to be friends. Calm down.
No, relax.
Tyler Biet says, look, I respect Wesley and everything he's done, but Joe Gacy's a different kettle of fish. Tonight he's got a different opponent to worry about. He's about to face Eddie Thorpe. Do you think a lot of these phrases that the British wrestlers use and just fly over the audience's heads in America, like kettle of fish?
I don't know.
We appreciate it, obviously, yeah. But you know, we've had more matches than you've had hot dinners, kettle of fish. They are quite British sayings.
Yeah, they are. They are. I think there's enough to contextually, you can probably get the gist, right?
Yeah, a different kettle of fish is... How do I explain this? It's similar, but different.
Yeah, slightly different matter. Mm. Yeah, it's and kind of...
This week's NXT.
Oh, teachable moment! Teachable moment!
Cheesy peeps, man. There you go, there's another one that no one will understand. Okay, this happened. Sorry, I just don't have anything to say about it. It was fine.
I'm intrigued to know your thoughts on what came next, though, because this is what happens with NXT. Like you said, there's a lot of green talent on this show and a lot of learning in front of you. And then occasionally you get something and you'll go, oh, that wouldn't look out of place on the main roster.
Mm.
Tyler Beatt and Eddie Thorpe.
Yeah.
Both very talented. Both very have good. Cut their teeth a lot elsewhere. Obviously, Carl Fredericks, formerly.
I thought he was going to be IWGP champion by now, Carl Fredericks. Really? Yeah, obviously he's chosen a different path, which is fair play. But yeah, it's interesting to follow his career. Has been a fun one.
Yeah, but I just really liked these guys working together. Tyler Bate, I fell in love with that UK tournament that they put on many, many moons ago.
Tyler Bate's always going to give you a fun match.
Yeah,
good match.
You know, Eddie Thorpe, it was a shame for him to lose that undefeated streak, but if you're going to lose it to anyone, Tyler Bate's the right person to lose it to.
Yeah, absolutely.
And obviously, Bate needed it heading into the premium live event. Great back and forth early on. Thorpe cuts Bate off with a crossbody, but Bate cradles him for a near fall. Thorpe fires back with a knee to the back. But Bate cuts Thorpe off with a knee and hits a standing shooting star press for a near fall. He goes for the Tyler Driver 97. Thorpe gets out of it. Bate hits that brilliant, I forget what it's called, the thing where he somehow comes off the top rope with his head. And by that, I mean he's sent into the ropes and he just sort of handsprings with his head off the top rope, bounces back, hits a lariat, hits the Tyler Driver 97. 1, 2, 3. Tyler Bate obviously gets the victory heading to NXT Battleground. Post-match, Joe Gacy comes in, jumps Tyler Bate. Wesley, who's on commentary, a bit despondent, slides in to try and make the save, but Gacy ducks. Wesley hits Bate. Obviously, more problems between them two. Gacy takes both of them out with that great finisher of his. Say what you like about his gimmick. Joe Gacy's finish is one of my favorites in wrestling. And he stands tall with that North American championship as Ava. She hasn't got a surname. She's The Rock's daughter. Looks on very happy.
Corrupted. Mm. Yeah. I enjoyed the kind of little argument that Vic Joseph and Booker T had in the middle of the match where Booker T was like, Joe Gacy is such an honest man or whatever it was. That was quite funny. But yeah, solid little TV match. Two very skilled guys, obviously. Tyler Bate always gives you something to chew on, even if it's 5 minutes or 10 minutes or whatever. And pretty effective build to the match.
Yeah.
Yeah, pretty decent. Nothing that's going to blow you away or rock your TV world. Mm-hmm. But like most TV wrestling is kind of functional rather than explosive. And this was very decent.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds. And they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Right, Bird Person is in the trainer's room. She's getting checked over. Mackenzie's asking about her injury. Lyra says her knee's bruised and swollen, but she doesn't feel any tear. She doesn't feel any ligament damage. I can relate to that with my severe sporting
injury. Career-ending ankle injury.
Oh, it's horrible, isn't it?
Yeah. Awful.
It's changing colours. Anyway, no matter what, though, more about Lyra here. She's going to be fine. She's going to rehab. She'll be ready for this weekend. And Mackenzie asks who Lyra wants to face, and she says, Roxy, she's the best.
Fair match.
And I was like, shut up, you.
Yeah, you're telling Porky Pies. There's another British one.
Hey.
Lies. So they're going with the story that she's injured heading into the final, and that will give the winner of the main event, who we've already mentioned, it'll give Tiffany, as a heel, something to target.
Please.
So fundamentally, that's just good wrestling storytelling. So
I have constantly pitched Tiffany Stratton to be our NXT Women's Champion, and this is the closest we've ever been.
Yeah.
There's a danger, right? On this weekend, because I'm away on my best mate's stag do, where we're in a field. No, it's a bit like when I went on a stag do in the middle of Wales, I remember. That was the day when you had Titus World Slide.
Oh, okay, yeah.
And I came back into signal service and thought someone had died because my phone wouldn't stop. You know, when you're just like, you know, if you take it off like airplane mode.
Yeah,
and you suddenly get like six. Blah, 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 blah. It was... I was like, jeez. Jesus Christ, what's going on? And it was everyone going, oh my God, Titus O'Neil's entrance at the what was it, Greatest Royal Rumble.
That's
it?
Right.
anyway, yeah, fingers crossed. We'll talk more about it later. And we saw as well after we came back from the break that Wesley and Tyler Bate, they're at each other's throats now. They keep arguing. Another potential main roster match came next. It was Noam Dar versus Nate the Razor, who is just so good. Noam Dar's great as well, by the way. Basically, the story here is Noam Dar really wants to torture Nathan Fraser for interrupting the Supernova sessions last week, but Nathan Fraser is just too quick. He kicks Noam Dar out to the floor. Dar's there with his Heritage Cup. We go to a break. When we come back, Dar's got the advantage. He's cut off Fraser. He's attacking his knee. He's working over his arm. Fraser comes back, though. Springboard reverse DDT. Spinning neck breaker. Gets a two count. Goes for a Phoenix Splash, but Dar escapes and goes for a knee lock. Fraser gets out of that. Here comes Dragon Lee, who is, of course, going to face Noam Dar for the Heritage Cup at NXT Battleground. That distracts Dar. He goes outside. He has a shoving match with Lee, who actually doesn't lay a finger on him. He just fakes to whoa, you're going to get some of this. That distracts Noam Dar, like I said. Fraser hits a dive, hits the Phoenix Splash. 1, 2, 3. Good story.
Yeah, fine. Again, yeah, like probably the best match on the show for my money.
Up there, yeah.
Good stuff across the board, but you would expect that from these two human beings. Who are both very good at their job. What a level of insight there. These people are good, and the match was good. I'm a clean finish fetishist, but this is WWE, so I can't really complain about it too much. I just like watching the former Benjamin Carter work, honestly. He's just such a refreshing, fun wrestler. He's got his like in-ring game together, more than most people with like five times his experience. He's a gem every time. Big fan.
Ilya Dragunov was getting interviewed by Mackenzie Mitchell about the attack from earlier. He says, Now it's time for Dijak to feel the pain. Last week was torture. Now Dijak's going to feel what I felt. He's going to sign the hold harmless agreement or whatever it's called. Dijak's going to understand, finally, he's unbeatable. Dijak comes in, they try to brawl, but they're in the locker room and everyone holds him apart. Yeah. For now.
Unbesiegbar.
Yes.
They are. Yep.
Yeah. This was the bit where they did that press tour. Carmelo Hayes having an absolute wicked pisser, going around Boston, talking about going back there for the first time as NXT champion. Just lovely, yeah.
Humanizes like the TV character. I like it. That's what you need to do when you're the sympathetic person against a wrecking ball like Bron Breakker. It's good.
He went to a Boston Celtics game.
There you go. I think they won last night.
Parked his car in Harvard Yard.
He did. He went to Cambridge. I don't know. That's a place in Massachusetts.
He says Bron's not going to be prepared for what he's walking into. I can't wait to hear this reaction for Melo on Sunday.
Yeah, yeah. Where's the what kind of building are they holding there?
Lowell Mass, isn't it? Lowell, I don't know what Mass. Let's have a look what the venue is.
I'm curious because sometimes they book the big one and then cut half of it off. I like it when it's the smaller one, personally.
Sangha Center at UMass Lowell.
The Sangha Center? There's a big man running the show.
It holds about 10,000, according to their Wikipedia.
All right, so they're probably going to go for the, like, close the upper bowl or something gimmick.
Maybe. But,
yeah, we'll see.
It can it makes it smaller. Oh, that's for, like, hockey and concerts.
Yeah, you don't need as big a stage for a hockey game, but you do have an ice rink.
Mm. Like,
that's not
pretty goddamn accent. Chilly, I am. I'm freezing my goddamn tits off. and he says, anyway, Bron is fast, agile, and strong, but he's not Boston strong. He's going to find that out on Sunday.
There you go. He's, yeah.
The match we were all looking forward to came next. Tank versus Tank. Love these boys. By the way, Tank Ledgers looks great so far. He's only had like 3 matches, it feels like.
He's got a really good look.
He's got something about him, hasn't he?
Yeah, there's like, there is a weird chaotic energy to this man that I'm kind of drawn to. You know what? It's kind of similar to Trench. In AEW.
Is that right?
Yeah, that's right.
There's some kind of weird danger about this guy that I can't really put my finger on. But when he popped on the screen, I was like, you're weird. Well, I'm into this.
Yeah,
what's
sometimes
going
they
on?
Just pick people because they can lift heavy things, which is incredibly impressive, by the way. I don't mean to diminish that by any way. Yeah. But also, when they've got that summit about them.
Something strange going on there, and I appreciate that
like
very
the team
much.
Of, potentially, a War Games team of Hank Tank and the Creeds could absolutely kick ass.
Hank Tank, Frank, and
Wank.
Wank, yeah. Managed by Mank. Jesus.
Daddy Socket.
That was a Scouse accent.
Yeah, I don't know. Tried, missed, failed. Never mind. I told you I can't do accents. Can't do voices.
Can't do accents.
Yeah.
Liverpool's easy. There's
Scouse is easy,
there's
like.
Two key noises, isn't there? There's the and there's the That's all you need. There's I don't know about this accent.
Yeah, there you go.
Easy. Easy. I can't really do Brummy that well.
You're right, Arky Dog. I'm going to wrestle at the NXT Battleground. Try both ways live. You can be North American champion.
I think it's Black Country, technically.
That's not too bad. I'm going to go down the Hawthorns and watch Birmingham City.
I can't do it. I cannot do that. Leeds, Yorkshire. What's that? Hey, Bagum.
Yorkshire. Yorkshire. That's all I can hear growing up. I've been playing Chef Wednesday and Chef United. Those are the days.
Yeah.
Anyway,
how the mighty have fallen.
Hank versus Tank, that's it. Local rivalry, sort of, technically. Yeah. That counts. they are mirror images of each other in this match, basically. Shoulder blocks. Ledger hits Walker with elbows in the corner. So that's just for those keeping count. Tank hitting Hank. Hank comes back on Tank with some strikes. Tank hits a power slam and a headbutt, gets a near fall. Hank comes back with a slam. They both collide with a double crossbody. I think Hank pinned Tank. I've already forgotten where I am.
Hank literally just like, they did the thing and he was like, okay, I was going to pin you. This was kind of like, all the compliments obviously towards Tank that we've just made. This was pretty rubbish.
I liked it. Just two big lads bouncing off each other doing the same thing.
Yeah. I mean, I like the concept's quite cute. Yeah. Like mirror images, best friends.
And I'm glad it wasn't like, ooh, you got one over on me. It was just like, well, that's what happened.
And I like them kind of coming to the ring together because it's like they're friends.
Yeah.
They're not pretending it's some nonsense. They're just friends having a match. But I thought, I thought the match was kind of rubbish. But it didn't really. It didn't need to be good. I guess like they told what they wanted to tell, and the finish was weird. But okay,
I liked it. I liked it a bit more. So I'd say Hank versus Tank is going in my spank bank. Bron Breakker hits the ring afterwards and nails them both with spears. Then yells that he's going to see Melo on Sunday. Yeah. So that was
sorry, boys.
Immediately forgotten what we just watched. The Creeds are backstage. In comes Stax, Brutus, Dumb Jock Energy all over the place here. Yep. Says, oh, I see Tony D finally got caught sleeping with fish.
And like, the famous phrase.
Stax looks at him, but the best was Julius. He was like, what the fuck are you talking about? Anyway, so Stax says, I've been practicing this.
Sleeping with fish? You're doing it wrong. No, he didn't.
Sorry, I can't do it. Julius apologises and says, look, Stax, we appreciate you coming out for the save. And he says,
Joe Carvey didn't just screw you guys over at Stand and Deliver. And here's the thing. You're going to be just as outnumbered in low as you were tonight. And with the Don being detained, maybe we can work out some kind of agreement for me to have you back.
You're an idiot.
They look at each other. They look at each other, but obviously they've had their fingers burned with Damon Kemp, I believe it was.
Yeah.
Yeah, they say, thanks, but no thanks. We've been burned in the past by others. And Stack says,
understood. No offense taken.
I'm going to go back to my cave now.
And Julius tells Stax that him and Tony are going to get the first shots once they win the title. So now I am desperate for the Creeds to win the titles on Sunday.
Yeah, the Creeds are going to win, and then the Mafia guys are going to get the shot, and then Mafia Guy B is going to be revealed as the rat from Mafia Guy A.
No, don't do this to me. No.
And then Mafia Guy C, who was killed off last year, is going to come back as a zombie Mafia guy, and it is on. There you go, NXT. Wrote your stories.
And I mean, folks, where's the lie?
We could just get some of Alba Fire and Isla Dawn's like magic spells to bring him back. It's easy.
Yeah, just touch the referee on the leg and they throw up goo.
Yeah, that's how it works, baby. You tickle a calf muscle in a certain place, you throw up goo. I'll do it to you right now. Look. Just happened.
What is it?
Oh, God.
The thing is, I love the weird, wacky world of NXT. The problem is when they suddenly go from that, which I'm fully on board with,
sure,
be as stupid as you like, to shoot real life serious stuff. Gigi Dolin comes out.
Oh, boy, this was, yeah.
She talks about being from a broken home that she grew up in with her brother and learning about addiction from their parents the hard way.
Yeah.
They didn't know what a stable family was. She thought she found one here, but JC Jane had ruined that. And she's going to end JC when she purges everything she ever felt for JC. JC's up in the audience. She says, enough of the emo talk. We used to sit up here in our toxic lounge and look down on everyone. That was the run of your career, Gigi. Why did you throw it all away? JC said, I was tired of carrying you. Everyone knew I was destined for bigger and better things on my own. Gigi says, I've been the center of your attention since you split up. JC wants to do everything everything possible to make sure she's not known as the third wheel. JC says, last time we met in the ring, I won in front of your brother. Gigi says, well, you were the one who ended up with stitches. We're still 1-1. Let's have a bare knuckle fight. And JC says, oh, you're just pandering to this loyal troll fan base that just eat up your tragic, depressing, pathetic Instagram stories. I can't wait to be done with you once and for all. Let's settle it next week in a steel cage. Gigi says, like, I don't pander. I wear my heart on my sleeve. I'm as real as it gets. Unlike you, you fake-ass bitch. And she says, how about steel cage? How about a weaponized steel cage match? And JC says, you're on. We'll obviously preview this next week. But
yeah,
it's a hard switching of gears in the words of Michael Cole, isn't it?
Yeah, it's a very big tonal shift to go from, hey, you sleep with fish, to this kind of content and all that. I think it's really difficult when you're bringing past real traumas into wrestling from your life and your backstory and things. And like I'm for it 100% because like, you remember the Cruiserweight Classic when like Rich Swann was cutting the promos about like his homelessness and other things that had befallen him in his life. And like stuff like that just really builds up like a strong, believable baby face. Like Darby Allin's another one.
Yeah. It's not long
the car accident and all that. Like the way you dive into these things, I felt that they kind of hung Gigi Dolin out to dry a little bit here because she had no time to, like, explore this stuff. It was like, you've got a minute before you're interrupted. Just get the key points out. Like, it just kind of felt like the situation she was put in forced her to, like, immediately cut to the middle of this emotional story, which clearly means a lot to her and is clearly quite fundamental to this new character of hers. So I felt like...
And on a show with... full of fake gimmicks.
Yeah, exactly. Like, this was weirdly placed, and I think she needed more time to cook. Because like tell stories like this, absolutely, because it makes me believe in you. Like, it makes me want to root for you. And then JC Jane kind of comes out and does like a dollar store Britt Baker act. And I don't really know how to pick this apart. Because
someone's getting hurt next week.
Yeah, like it's obviously a very personal rivalry and all that stuff. And cage match, I guess, theoretically might be quite fun.
Yeah.
But yeah, the construction of this was just not what it needed to be. Mm. And I wish that Gigi had a little bit more time to cook with her promo early on. Weird. Mm. Weird times.
So from that to a new character. This is your thing. The guy that Von Wagner has been thrown against walls and choking out for making horrible comments, again, about a real-life thing that happened to him as a child, yeah, is revealed to be... I don't know why, but I feel weirdly drawn to this guy, Andy Murray. Luca Crucifino. He's a lawyer. He's a wrestling lawyer.
I wonder who he'll be teaming up with in a couple of weeks.
I already love this.
Yeah. I wonder who he's busting out of jail in a couple of weeks. Yeah.
He said he's going to make Von regret that they didn't settle their matter in court. Yeah. He tried to settle it peacefully. Now they're going to have to settle it in the ring. He's cutting it outside the Orange County courthouse. And he hands someone his card before the little vignette ends.
What's it? Crucifino.
Mm-hmm. Crucifino.
Crucifisto.
Something like that.
Yeah.
We get a preview setting up, or reminding us, I should say, of all the Heritage Cup rules and the lineage and the history. And Noam Dar versus Dragon Lee at Battleground. And then NXT Anonymous, has caught a video of Noam Dar begging Oru Mensa to be in his corner. Mensa's like, nah, bollocks to you, mate.
Yeah, get lost.
Noam Dar gets laughed at by Lash Legend and I think it was Jakara Jackson with her.
Yeah, they buried the poor guy, didn't they? He kind of deserved it for being a little weasel man, Noam Dar.
But what followed was Luca Crucifino's debut match against a favorite of ours here.
Of course.
Von Wagner. Got a lot of heart. A
couple 12-ounce curls.
I'm reliably informed by the internet that Luca Crucifino came out to the theme from The People's Court, which instantly...
Okay, that's funny.
That's awesome.
That's quite funny.
But Wagner's not messing about. He immediately attacks him, hits him with a big boot, but Luca avoids a charge in the corner, stomps away at him, gets a two count off a hip toss neck breaker, sends Von Wagner to the outside, and uses the opportunity to confront Mr. Stone, Robert Stone, and accost him to pull out the picture of a post-surgery child version of Von Wagner. And he starts laughing about the freak, and they're doing the whole monster rises up behind someone as they're doing that. That's exactly what Von does in his own inimitable style. Yeah. Nails Luca with a lariat, rolls him in the ring, just won't stop kicking his ass. Luca tries to get away by climbing through the ropes, but he just gets tangled in them. Referee starts counting. Von Wagner is just too... He's
kicking too much ass.
He's not using his head, he's using his heart. And he beats him up so much, he gets called for the DQ. So he snaps, attacks him after the bell, throws him into the barricade, sets up to powerbomb him through the table. Mr. Stone's like, Ron, come on, this isn't you, don't
Ron.
Do it.
Ron Wagner.
Von, this isn't you, don't do it. And he stops, walks away, and then goes, no, bollocks to that, actually. He had a go at me.
He's a prick, yeah.
Picks him up, power bombs him onto the table, which doesn't break. It just sort of crunches a little bit, which I always think looks way better.
Yeah. Like, it looks tougher.
Luke, the crowd were chanting for one more, and I was like, don't do it. Yeah. Don't do it, because Luca was hanging off it so well. He's just like a body. Just, oh, God.
Hell of a...
sucked ass. I'm into this Von Wagner story. It's a weird sort of babyface shift for him. He's still not winning matches.
No.
But he's kicking ass and he's capturing our hearts.
It's a hell of a first match on Tuesday night for Luca Crucifino.
Yes.
Isn't it? Hey, how do you like a taste of the good life, you sucker? he's done a bunch of NXT level up stuff, hasn't he? Like, I was looking at his stuff before this. Oh God, this. Yeah, I mean, it's not. It's not for me. What more? What more do I need to say? A guy.
It is very much.
Yeah,
you have to be a regular on NXT's podcast.
Yeah, man, we're back in the new generation era with another occupational gimmick. Except this occupational gimmick is a lawyer, which is a far more lucrative line of work than being a developmental wrestler. Maybe it wasn't for IRS because he was mainstream, baby, back in the day, the tax man. But. Yeah, I mean, and the guy wrestles in like a suit with the sleeves cut off.
It's the gear's unbelievable. I can't wait to hear what Hamble has to say about this gear.
And then he pulls a photograph out of his Robert Stone's jacket and he's like, look at this freak. I will say, right, Von Wagner, I know he's kind of like this bumbling kind of oaf guy. And
I've
like
fallen in love with him.
His literal promos are very funny. And he's like, it's kind of like he's kind of rubbish, but he's kind of fun. He's actually pretty good in the ring. Like,
yeah.
He's actually pretty decent in his role. Like,
he passes the airport test. Look at the size of that lad.
Yeah. Like he actually, I'm more fearsome aura from him than from Dabba Kato, who's like six inches taller than him and playing a monster heel. Yeah. They go 71 feet tall. So, like, I think Von Wagner's, he's pretty good in this role. He's obviously a
free agent as well.
Free agent.
Moves between the shows. Already been on SmackDown as security
guard. Think, Go back to that job if this one doesn't work out. Solid. Like, obviously, the material is the exact opposite of what I like in pro wrestling, but Von Wagner is a pretty decent.
Yes.
He's pretty good in his role. There you go.
Tony D's still in the interrogation room. the officers come in. He says, oh, boys, we got everything cleared up. I got to take my mother to the grocery store. Am I good to go? And they go, no, put your arms behind your back. We're arresting you. He's like, are you serious right now? Oh, come on, man. This is ridiculous. You know who I am. I know my rights. You're making a big mistake. And he's led away. They got me on the hook for next week.
Yeah, he's going to spend another week in this room that happened on TV, interrogated for crimes that were committed on a national television channel.
No evidence.
No evidence. Look at the laptop. It's too blurry.
I can't wait for this next week.
Yeah.
I want him to be released on, what's the phrase?
Yeah.
Released on bond.
I'm not reviewing this show next week, man.
Well, you say that now, but
it's It's so rubbish.
I've got a feeling that someone might come in just a second who could potentially convince you. Yeah! Hiya, Stacks! Hey, Andy! Great to see you again, buddy. How you doing? I love this guy, Moxie. We got such a good rapport, me and him. Andy, what's the deal with fish?
What?
And one of the creep brothers said something about fish. I'm like, what's the deal with that, huh? What are fish, huh? You like fish?
They're all right.
What's your favorite goddamn fish?
Flounder.
Okay.
Little Mermaid.
Before I get to the
Bobby Fish.
Bobby Fish, of course. And I mean, folks.
And I mean, folks, where's the lie?
You know, speaking of fish, Andy, I once made the Don a suit made out entirely of salmon, huh? Let me tell you, he looked very sophisticated. Sophisticated! Three jokes for you.
Okay, well, that was one of them.
Nope.
Oh,
that was the setup. Andy, what do you call a really stupid fish?
Dumb fish.
Close! A dumb bass. A dumb bass, huh?
Life is pain.
Question joke number two, Andy. What do you call a fish? sorry, Starks, I'm laughing because I can see your notes. Don't you look at my notes, you prick! Sorry.
He's going to gut you like a fish, eh? Is that right, Starks?
Look at this guy, I love him! And you, Andy, we're going to go far.
Yep, no. You're going to go far.
Yeah, there's no one else doing the nose this week with you. If you need someone to step up.
I would rather die.
Okay, question number joke number two. Andy, what do you call a fish that eats ass? Huh? What do you call a fish that eats ass?
fish guy. I don't know.
What do you call a fish that eats ass? A bottom feeder. A bottom feeder! Huh?
Get in the bin.
Final joke question. Joke for you. Annie, did you, you hear about the fisherman who uses his own spine to catch fish? You know what he calls it?
No.
He calls it his f***ing masturbate. Masturbate, because he's jacking it! Ah! The way I goddamn tell him! See you later, guys! Bye, Stacks. He's taking a real shine to you, hasn't
he? I'm filing a restraining order against this guy, man. He's no good.
I don't think laws really apply to him.
No, to fictional constructs. I'll get Roger Rabbit on it, man. He'll
yes. Right, second semi-final. Roxanne Perez versus Tiffany Stern. Thought these two looked great together in here. Adam Nicholas saw a clip of this. Really put over Tiffany Stratton as well. Obviously, like... I'm saying that. It sounds like I'm having a go at Roxanne Perez. No, Roxanne Perez was ready to go up to the main roster when she arrived in NXT.
Tiffany Stratton carried Roxanne Perez. Adam Wilborn said that.
I love me some Tiffany Stratton, though, and I think her finish is, again, right up there. Back and forth between the two, Stratton gains control. She's got the size advantage, of course. Has most people have against Roxanne Perez, but never stops her.
She's got heart. Great.
Yeah. Clips Perez off the top rope, sends her to the floor. Perez comes back with crossbodies, goes off the top rope, but Stratton catches her and drops her, goes for the prettiest moonsault ever, but Perez dodges it. Stratton, never mind, comes back, rolls through, comes back, hits her with a sky high for a near fall. Perez makes a comeback, though. Springboard Hurricane Rana off the top rope for a two count. Stratton blocks a side Russian leg sweep. They trade near falls. Perez manages to finally hit that side Russian leg sweep. Goes for pop rocks, but Stratton brilliantly counters it. Sends Perez into the ropes. Hits the prettiest moonsault ever. 1, 2, 3.
Job
she is in
done.
The final of the NXT Women's Championship Tournament, taking on Bird Person. And they square off and joy jack a little bit afterwards before Perez is attacked by the mystery lady who was definitely going to be someone who's been transferred to the main roster now. So I'm trying to think about who it could be. But yeah, someone in a hoodie attacks the unfortunate loser of this semi-final, Roxanne Perez. It's not Indy Hartwell because she's on the main roster now. But what did you think of this match?
Yeah, it was good stuff. I thought actually, like, I mean, Tiffany's going to win the title now because they've established the story, haven't they, with Valkyria, Bird Lady, Michael Keaton, all of that. So you'd imagine that she will go and take advantage of the wounded situation as a heel. It's interesting. I actually thought she was going to win it in the ladder match the other month.
Yeah.
Where she took like 20 ridiculous bumps and no one caught her coming out of that. I was like, she's dead. She's not wrestling again. She's dead.
Yeah.
But no, she got straight back into it. Like she's made of Lazarus stuff, it seems. she's the... is this a fair comment? I think she might be the most natural rookie that NXT 2.5, as I call it now, has developed. Like in terms of like a from nothing to something... creation.
Yeah.
She's probably the standout one because comes from like bodybuilding background and other bits and pieces and stuff. And they give her like a home run character that is always going to get over, like the entitled idiot. Like it always works. The daddy's money, all of that stuff. And she's just grown and grown between the ropes as well. Obviously, I think a lot of the NXT women's division in particular, I'm not sure if it's down to the way they're trained or what they practice or whatever, but they train people to do spectacular stuff first. Sometimes it seems like Sol Ruka.
Yeah, Sol Snatcher, yeah.
Hope she's recovering okay. Bird Woman to an extent. But there are some other examples as well of people who, you see the clips doing the rounds on social media that often go viral after NXT, and it's like there's somehow 70 flips and then there's like another 70 flips and there's not much in between. And sometimes the fundamentals are like really lacking, not to bore nerd you down, but
yeah,
like...
Yeah, no, I get where you're coming from there.
Yeah, sometimes the space between moves feels really empty and it's like they're kind of feeding each other into these spots.
When they get lost, it's really obvious.
Yeah, exactly. And there's like clear things where it feels more like choreography rather. And of course, all wrestling is choreographed, really. But you have to. The job of a wrestler, obviously, is to make you believe it's not. But with Tiffany, that goes further and further away every single week. Like, this was just a good match.
Yeah.
Obviously, like, I expect it from Roxanne, who I think, even at, like, when she was on the Indies and in Ring of Honor and stuff, absurdly good for her experience levels. The Eureka moment for me with her was the match she had with Donna Purrazzo in Impact just before she went to WWE. And Deonna's obviously great, but, like, Roxanne was matching her, like, hold for hold, move for move. And you expect Roxanne, even though she's very young herself, to elevate people and to, like, help them look good in the ring. But I don't think Tiffany really needs the help anymore. No. She's really good. She's got presence, like a star, captivating as soon as she's on the screen and start going, Tiffany Stratton. I can't really do the voice, but she's an attention-grabbing presence. She has the X factor, the kind of thing that cannot be taught in schools and drills and stuff. You can't develop what she has.
Yeah.
She can be a huge star, 100%. Even if she only improves to, like, a 2¾-3-star wrestler, like a decent enough worker or whatever, she's gonna be a huge star.
Yeah.
Because everything else is so on point. So yeah, this will be step 3 or whatever in whatever process it takes to have her. I think she's gonna main event WrestleMania someday, honestly.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah. I really think she has that potential. And obviously not the finished article yet. I mean, even in this match, there were a couple of moments where it was like the connective tissue was a little bit off. Hold transitions or whatever, but that's okay. I can forgive that when the other pieces are so strong.
Mm.
This was really good. Like, and she's going to win the tournament.
Yeah.
100%, baby.
So I'm looking at the clock going, that's a weird early finish for this match. Oh. And then, of course, I remembered, yeah, the Hold Harmless agreement. So Dijak comes out. He's immediately jumped by Ilya Dragunov and they brawl. Dijak sends him into the barricade. He grabs the contract off the desk and signs it. And Dijak comes back in. Dragunov fights back, sorry. He signs the contract as well. Dijak comes after him with the stairs, gets tripped, falls headfirst onto the stairs. Great spot where you get Ilya Dragunov leaping off the steps whilst Dijak's down on the floor, hits him with that diving forearm, and then stands on the steps and sort of makes this noise. He was very pleased with himself hitting that. I thought it looked great. But everyone's out there trying to separate them, trying to keep them apart. Calm down, they were saying. And there's this great stare down as they are pulled apart. Again, I thought weird ending for the show, and then they ended it with this brilliant promotional video setting up the main event of NXT Battleground. You grounded! Battlegrounded! Mello Hayes versus Bron Breakker, talking about all the history of WWE in Boston. I thought this was a wicked pisser to end the show.
Yeah, it certainly was. Yeah, they did good work with these two across the show. Dijak and Dragunov is a weird one because the match is so obviously going to kick ass. And the angles this week were decent. There's just like, both of their characters just have like a little bit of cringe on them that I could do without. Like, I've always thought that about Dragunov, to be fair. Even when he was in WXW and coming back and dethroning Walter and having like a legit, what I thought was a 5-star match. I think it was on a Carrot weekend, whatever number the Carrot is, I can't remember.
Yeah.
Gold is the point. Even back then, I thought, this guy's quite extra.
It's very intense.
Very over-the-top intense. Dijak kind of has that element to his character now. Where it's
far better in NXT than he was on the main roster.
I will take this over Retribution any single day of the bloody week. So it's one of those things where, like, if go and get rid of the window dressing, the core of it is really good and the match will be really good. And,
The
world knows I'm not a video package guy, but these were good video packages for Braun and Mello. So, hey, okay.
Looking forward to the premium live event this weekend, and there's some other stuff probably going on as well. But let us know your thoughts on NXT on Twitter at WhatCultureWWE. Well, actually, you can follow both of us. You can follow Andy Murray at
Andy H. Murray. The H stands for, hey, I got through it.
Follow me on Twitter at Adam Wilborn. Follow us all at What Culture WWE, as I said. And make sure you subscribe to What Culture Wrestling, wherever you get your podcasts from, for daily wrestling podcasts, because the Dadley Boys, live from Las Vegas, it probably won't be live, but it'll be from Las Vegas, are going to be previewing AEW Dynamite a little bit later on today. But for now, this has been the NXT Review. My thanks to Andy Murray, to Stax. Thank you for joining us, and we will see you soon.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.